Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome. It's Chris Graham, and we're going to talk with Rod Mullins here on the podcast. We're going to wrap up the NASCAR championship race from this past Sunday, and a thrilling end to the season, Rod. Our top four championship drivers all factoring in as those last laps rolled down, and it came down to a caution and a really quick pit stop that gave Kyle Larson the advantage, and he rode it to victory.
Yeah, it gave Kyle Larson the advantage, and it gave the disadvantage to Denny Hamlin there toward the very end. Denny Hamlin's chances at that point were pretty much shot. He had to pit. Some of the others had to go in and pit, but Kyle Larson benefited from that because, you know, he had a kind of it was a good day. I wouldn't say it was a bad day altogether. He'd ran up there pretty close to the top. Chase Elliott had ran up there close to the top, and there for a while you thought Chase Elliott was going to come away with it. But, you know, there was some of this contact again with some of the cars, but really a lot of trouble, I think, mostly with the right side tires, especially this time around at Phoenix, because here they were coming out. They were using the high side of the track, and then all of a sudden you'd see a car just veer off and go into the wall, and kind of made people wonder whether or not the cars were going to make it long enough. And so some of these teams were going with four tires instead of just two to replace the right side tires. They might as well. They just, with the time they had left in the race, just go ahead and go with four. It seemed like Hendrick was getting better runs, I guess, altogether on from the start, a kind of a short run is what they were getting. They would improve as they started out. They were not as good, but then as they got on through the run, they started improving. They started being able to stick to the track a little bit better, and that was witnessed by Kyle Larson winning the race. You know, as for Joe Gibbs Racing, the two teams, the two drivers there, it was unfortunate. Martin Truex Jr. probably had one of the best races he could have had, but still came up short there at the very end. You know, it kind of pointed out to me, too, that, yeah, even this championship thing that they've got going on, there's still some, how can I say it, still some team things going on with Joe Gibbs Racing where there's some animosity maybe a little bit between Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin out there. Christopher Bell's really not been that much of a factor this season, although he has led a couple of races, but those big three right there, there's some tension there, I think, between those teams. And then on the other hand, Kyle Larson getting a big thumbs up from Chase Elliott there in the pits. And, you know, it was one of those things. Chase Elliott said, if I can't win it, you know, I'd much rather Kyle Larson be able to go and win it as, you know, anybody else, or at least of our team. So it was one of those kind of races where you saw team loyalty, I think, in a lot of things. And then you saw some things with, you know, just the way the track was. I think the track was in really good shape. And then suddenly it started kind of going away. But that happens when it starts getting a little bit shady, when it starts getting a little bit more shade on the track, and it starts to lose temperature and you lose a lot of heat, and then the tires can't stick as well. So that was kind of a situation. I think we saw some tires go down on Sunday afternoon there in Phoenix.
It's not always the case. In fact, it's not often the case since we've gone to this format that the guy who dominates the season ends up winning the championship race and ends up being the champion. Last year, just as an example, Kevin Harvick dominated the season and wasn't the champion. Chase Elliott was. Right. It's appropriate, I guess, that Kyle Larson, he was so dominant all season long, beginning, end. I mean, all the way through, it felt like. I guess, in a way, it's fitting that he was the champion this year.
Yeah, it was. And I think it's also, again, and I bring this up, and, you know, Sunday was the big salute day. A lot of the teams were, they were giving their – goodbyes, I guess, for anything to Chip Ganassi, because that was his last race as a car owner in NASCAR. And then it's ironic again, you know, I think I'd said it several times during some of our podcasts before that, you know, if Ganassi had known, or at least had had the stuff that, you know, Hendrick had at that time and had the team together, what he could have done maybe in that final year of his deal with Chip Ganassi Racing, what Larson could have done. And in one way, it kind of adds a little bit of insult to injury. In one way, Kurt Busch had been very good for Ganassi. I mean, that had been a plus for him. Ross Chastain, here and there. I mean, he's only in like his first or second year running full-time Cup. But, you know, it was just different this year. It was just different. You know, you had Kyle Larson always at the top of conversation list besides Jamie McMurray when Jamie McMurray was running also before he retired. But it was just kind of strange. It's just kind of strange that this whole world thing of NASCAR kind of did a flip-flop this year. And when Kyle Larson went out, there were a lot of people saying, well, that's good. You know, we'll at least have a chance to win some races. And then when Hendrick takes the chance on Kyle Larson, brings him back into the fold and says, hey, we're starting new. We're going to start with a whole new team. We're going to do this the way that we need to. I mean, Kyle Larson just clicked. I mean, it's just one of those things that clicked, and it ran really well for them right down to the very end.
So Chase Elliott comes up just short in his bid for a back-to-back championship. Mm-hmm. We add another under 30 champion, though, in Kyle Larson. So maybe perspective on that. I mean, that list includes guys like Ned Jarrett, Dale Earnhardt Sr., mm-hmm. Jeff Gordon a couple times, among others, who were champions under 30. Where does Larson fit in here? He's just under 30. He's 29 years old, so he'll be 30 right. next season. But where does he fit in as a young driver, and what do you think his future might hold?
Number-wise, he is probably, to me, I think he's putting up numbers better than Jeff Gordon did when he was starting out, as young as Gordon was. But, you know, Larson hasn't confined himself to just the oval or the super speedways in this. You know, when he's done, you know, with a race there on Sunday, he goes, maybe rests up on Monday, and then takes off to go to Newport Speedway down in Newport, Tennessee, and run down there in a dirt track. He may go somewhere else. He may go out to Knoxville, out to Iowa somewhere and race. And he's been dominant. I mean, I think it's been one of those things that Hendrick kind of had to accept it, that's where Kyle Larson's bread and butter was, so to speak. That's where he had established himself early on. And Rick Hendrick just said, you know, go ahead, you know, do this. I don't see that he would have done this with any other driver, but he knows that I think it's important for Kyle Larson to kind of continue that streak and continue that hotness that he's been able to put up in numbers wise. And even, like I said, beating Jeff Gordon some things. Where does that take him from here? You know, I don't know. Ownership wise, you know, I think he's going to stay where he's at right now for as comfortable as he seems. He likes it, but you know, I can't really rule out at least one of these times. It could be in 5 years, maybe. He may be looking at the thing of, you know, I'm going to go the retirement route and I'm going to start my own race team. I mean, Brad Keselowski is kind of still going to be a driver, but he's going to be a part-time owner. Denny Hamlin's still driving. He's a part-time owner. They're going to have to get some more involvement, I think, of some other areas for some of these drivers to be able to go and walk into ownership opportunities and then get some of these younger drivers on the Xfinity series and the truck series and some of these other series and start bringing them up, because I think the youth movement is there. Joe Gibbs's grandson, JD, I mean, you know, with him, he's the future. He's the future right there. And Joe Gibbs has it. Nobody else has him. So he's going to do well. So in a couple of years, I kind of see Larson maybe owning a team, or at least going into a partial ownership and then materializing into an ownership later on by himself.
What do you think it is about this generation of drivers wanting to be owners much younger than their preceding generations? You know, what is it about this generation that makes them so entrepreneurial? I mean, is it the fact that there's so much more money involved in NASCAR now? What are the factors there?
Well, you know, if they're looking at the money aspect of it, they're going to have to end up facing the facts like what Darrell Waltrip did when Darrell Waltrip became a car owner. And that is, you're going to have to try to put out the best quality team and the best quality car that you can get out there on the track. When you come up short on that end, you're going to come up short on the sponsorship end. And right now, the sponsorship end, you know, you see some sponsorship out there with people, but you know, you're not getting whole seasons. You're only getting multi-season packages, and maybe like one business maybe run 14 or 15 races, and then another one will run 14 or 15 races. So you've got 30 right there, and then you've got at least another part-time sponsorship for somebody else out there. we're going to have to see some changes, I think, especially in the way that the cost is going to be for some of these sponsors to get back in. You've got some people right now, Ally Bank, that they have firmly planted themselves in Rick Hendrick's corner. You know, Roush Fenway, that's a question mark right there. I know they picked up a couple of good things this year, but they're losing Ryan Newman. They, you know, Ryan Newman doesn't know where he's going this year, but, you know, Brad Keselowski knows he's going to be driving there next year. Gibbs has been able to get some good sponsorship, but I think these guys are seeing the independent end of it because they want to have a little bit of control over what they do. And I think they can do it a lot better if they're kind of in their entrepreneurial ownership sort of package. You know, that way they can kind of tell themselves, you know, this is what event I'm going to attend along with sponsorship, because these guys get too committed out there with a lot of these sponsors and it runs them ragged. And sometimes they're just not even on the same page by the time that Sunday rolls around for a race.
So we debut a new car next year, the next gen car. Maybe talk about that. And also just wrapping up with, you know, the I guess the Generation 6 car, what are some of the thoughts that you've heard about, you know, the change in era, so to speak?
A lot of people like the cars, except for Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Busch, he's gone on record saying many of the time that, you know, the car is, in his words, the car sucks. The car just, you know, it doesn't handle right. It's not what NASCAR needs. We need to go back and go to the drawing board. But Dale Jr. has tried it out. You know, Clint Bowyer even tried it out. They went to Bowman Gray Stadium in Raleigh here a couple of weeks ago, raced around there. You know, that's still a racetrack. Bowman Gray's got the football field right in the middle of it. And they went out with the next generation car, kind of like a simulation to see how the car would do at a Los Angeles Coliseum for that Busch clash that they're going to have coming up 2 weeks before Daytona. The car has got a lot of good features about it. I think that they've, you're going to hear a lot of rumor, a lot of innuendo about some things saying that the car is not safe. If the car wasn't safe, NASCAR wouldn't put it on the track. There's just no way that they would, you know, have a liability like that in front of them. So I think the car is going to be safe. It's going to be different, you know. This is a car that's going to be the predecessor to what could be by, I think I heard Steve Phelps talking about this, by 2026, they could be looking at a hybrid car. So that's going to be a part electric, part gasoline. And, you know, from some of the things that was said this past week in the Scotland, kind of the climate thing, you know, some of these things are going to be out. They're going to be moving to have some of these things banned by a certain period of time. They're wanting gasoline engines. I think it's a little bit of a far-fetched thing of 2035. They want people to have, you know, electric cars by that time. You know, you're going to have to get some incentives. And NASCAR is going to have some incentives, too, to be able to go full blast into that, because you've got that loyal, and I'm sorry, guys, don't take this the wrong way, but that loyal redneck base that wants to hear those headers fire up. They want to hear that muffler go off. They don't want to hear a little going down the track, you know, a little buzzing noise that comes with an electric car. So there's going to have to be some changes. There's going to have to be some changes on some people's thinking, and we'll just have to wait and see. But that next gen car, I'm impressed with it. I just think it's a great car from what I've read and what I've heard about it. A lot of people are bragging about it, but you still have your naysayers that say they've still got a lot more work to do. But that's with anything. There's a lot of work that goes in anything if you're going to make it better.
So we talk a lot during the season about the silly season news, comings and goings, guys getting new rides, guys getting pushed out of rides, that kind of thing. Now that we're officially in silly season, what's the latest on that realm?
Not a lot. Quiet right now. I know there's been some crew chief changes named here in the last couple of weeks. Brad Keselowski has, Matt McCall over at Roush Fenway, Keselowski Racing, if you want to call it that. I know that Eric Jones picked up a new crew chief today for Richard Petty Motorsports. I don't have the name right off, but they picked up a new crew chief, and I think it's somebody that Jones is familiar with. We've not been hearing a lot about the drivers right now. I know the Front Row Motorsports, Anthony Alfredo was kind of an impromptu dismissed from the team. Michael McDowell is still going to be racing for Front Row Motorsports. You had Quinn Huff, Quinn Huff, his car. I reckon he's gone now from after, he's had a rough year in NASCAR. I ended up heard that the other day that he's ended up losing that ride, and they have sold the charter to somebody else in NASCAR, but they have not disclosed who that charter is going to. So you've got drivers like Matt Benedetto that's out there, Quinn Huff that's going to be out there, Ryan Newman, Anthony Alfredo will be another one that's kind of out there too. There's so many of these younger drivers. Ross Chastain is going to be out there too, looking for a ride. What do these guys do? Do they go back to Xfinity, or do they, just try to see what they can do about putting together a ride and going out there on Saturday and Sundays and see what they can do? I don't know. It'll start getting sorted out a little bit more. Ryan Newman's still of this attitude that he's still got some driving years left in it. I don't know if he does or not. The last part of this season, I just wasn't impressed with Ryan Newman. His abilities in the car before, years ago, was just incredible. But this year, it seemed like he was a wreck a week coming out on the track and stuff. He'd either hit somebody or he'd hit the wall, and kind of reminded me of Robert Duvall and Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder. Just go out there and hit the pace car. You've hit everything else out there on the track. Just go ahead and hit the pace car. At least you'll be perfect before it's over with. So I don't know. It's a lot of this is going to be up in the air.
I guess next time we get together, we'll be talking about the 2022 season. So I guess this is a way to put a nice bow on 2021. What are your thoughts, as we're wrapping up 2021? Kyle Larson's the champion. He was a dominant racer all season long. Chase Elliott had a good season. There were a lot of comings and goings. Maybe some of your final thoughts on 2021 NASCAR.
2021 was a learning year. I'll just say that it was a learning year because they took a lot of things from 2020 and COVID. You really didn't hear about a whole lot of things going on with COVID in the NASCAR garage. You had some people that had tested positive, but then it really wasn't as big a deal, almost like the apocalyptic sort of Soylent Green, Planet of the Apes sort of scenario here, that everything was coming to a downfall in NASCAR because NASCAR had done their homework. But we're still at a point of like, what do we expect for next year? And I think that's going to be still one of those things that's a big question mark right now. Kyle Larson, you have to give him as a little bit of a favorite for next year. But how many times do these guys in the current day NASCAR, how many of these guys currently make a back-to-back repeat performance in a championship? Chase Elliott tried it this year. It didn't work. He came up short. 2021, I think more than anything else for me, I think especially for Kyle Larson, I think this was a year of redemption more than anything else. I think he proved to a lot of naysayers that were out there that said, I belong on the track with some of these professional drivers. And he handled it really cool too. He didn't fly up. He didn't get mad at anybody when they brought things up with him and they said to him, did you ever expect to be back in NASCAR? I think he always expected to be back in NASCAR. It was just, he didn't know who was going to give him the shot. And Rick Hendrick, I didn't know this till the other day. Rick Hendrick is a Virginia native. He was born in Virginia. And then later on, family moved down to North Carolina. That's when he got involved into cars, car dealerships, and then racing boats and racing in general. So, I think Tim Richmond probably, or not Tim Richmond, but Rick Hendrick in this case, just like the same thing with Tim Richmond and some of these other drivers, he saw potential in Kyle Larson, and he just plucked him up and got him and said, let's see what we can do with this. And it proved very profitable, I think, for Hendrick altogether.
One last thing, Virginia, Notre Dame, Saturday night, who you got?
Oh, I don't know, Chris. Gosh, you're asking me a question here that you've got one of the top offenses in the country in Virginia, and Bronco Mendenhall still playing games of whether or not he's going to be starting Armstrong for Saturday. And I'm like, I don't know yet. I've heard that all week. And then Notre Dame, the rushing defense or the rushing offense that they've got going up against Virginia's rush defense, which is one of the most terrible rush defenses in the country, at least where it's ranked. 122 out of like 130 or something like that is what I think I saw a figure on it.
Well, there's eight teams worse. There's eight teams worse. Yeah,
that's true. But 122 is not exactly, you know, not exactly the pick of the litter here, if you want to put it that way. It's going to be a tough game, but you know, they're playing at home. And I think that if Virginia's home base crowd gets out there and really shows some support for UVA, they could make it a tight game. They could really, but the defense is going to have to come alive. That's all there is to it. They're going to have to rise to the occasion, and they're going to have to probably pull off something like what Tennessee did against Kentucky last Saturday night. I never thought I would ever see a Tennessee team that just kept on clawing back and clawing back like they were against Kentucky. And it eventually got to the point Kentucky just, they couldn't handle it anymore. Kentucky just started messing up, and Tennessee came away with the victory, and it was a big, that was a big win. They're just one win away from being bowl eligible. You know, they're right there. Of course, they play Georgia this weekend. Who knows how that could go? I think some of these teams are starting to get a little bit of some jitters when it comes to Tennessee right now, especially here toward the last part of the season. But back to the Virginia Notre Dame thing, it's possible. I think UVA could beat them, but, you know, they're going to have to catch Notre Dame on a downside, very much like they did when Cincinnati caught Notre Dame on that downside, and they ended up with that win there. That was a big win for Cincinnati.
Virginia is going to win. That's what I want to say. That's all. I'll just put it as bluntly as that. Virginia's going to win.
I will say that. Virginia's going to win too.
Go Wahoos. Yeah, no, thanks. Hey, Rod, thanks as always for your time. Great talking with you today.
You too, Chris. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.